aggressive. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Oh, yeah. Fake punching my microphone right now because I am fired up. Fired up, ladies and gentlemen. We're on to week one. That's right. We're on to week one.
But we're on to Cincinnati.
No, Bill Belichick. We're on to Pittsburgh. It's week one of the 2015 NFL season. I am Pod Vader. I am joined today by two super fans here, quote unquote, live with me. That being Sitgo, our Eagles super fan and Sunday Night Recap host. Sitgo, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing? Thanks for having me, man.
Anytime. I love having y'all. We should all get on one day. That'd be a fun show. 33 of us all talking at once. But we also have here Ryan, our Jaguar super fan. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, I'm doing amazing because there's actual football tonight. I'll be doing even better when it's Sunday and the Jags play.
By the way, Ryan, you should know now that I threw you under the bus on the Sports Gal Pal podcast. All 32 of our super fans joined Ramona Rice, the Sports Gal Pal. You can check out her podcast on iTunes or at blogtalkradio.com/thesportsgalpal. And she said that that you were one of her favorites and that you talked the most. And I said, well, that's because he doesn't have much else to talk about.
I see. All right. All right. So we're
I saw the bus already. Coming. I saw the bus coming and I said, hey, look, there's a bus, and then pushed you right in front of it.
Boom. There I went. All right. Well, let's see. I'm writing down like seven insults to throw at you throughout the show. Let me pull out the best one.
Well, while you're doing that, I will let all of our other super fans know, those being the fans of the show, you can reach out to us on email through Gmail. We're nextfanup@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Twitter @NFU Podcast. You can also go to our Facebook page. You just search Next Fan Up on Facebook, or you can go to facebook.com/NFU Podcast. You'll see a lot of our super fans have written up previews for week one, as we've been doing all preseason long. They will continue to do this during the regular season. The one difference between our preview shows from our preseason preview shows is that we will now feature the Battle of the Superfans. We'll present three or four, sometimes more, depends on how many guys we can get together over the week, to go one-on-one, head-to-head, debate style, who's going to win their matchup and why. And this being week one, game one, Steelers Patriots, we have to go with that one first. Now, if you're listening to this on Friday, skip ahead 14 minutes, or you can sit and laugh at how wrong our super fans were about how the game actually went up. But if you're listening to this on Thursday before the game, sit back and enjoy. When we come back, Sicko and Ryan and I will discuss the games that we don't preview with our super fans. You'll also hear the Titans, Bucks, Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles, stop. Falcons. Yes, stop it, Sicko's dog.
Ridiculous.
Oh, Sicko's dog making a cameo appearance here as we go into the Battle of the Superfans. It's the kickoff. You can't have a kickoff show without having the number one game of the week. That is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New England Patriots. I have Greg, the Steelers superfan, and Patrick, the Patriots superfan, here on the phone with us. Gentlemen, real football time. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing great, Pod.
Doing fantastic. I'm excited about tonight. It's going to be a great game, and we'll try and keep everything above the belt here, but we're here for football, and we're going to do matchups here, and we will start, Greg, with your offense versus the Patriots defense. How do you see things playing out?
Well, I'm really excited about Big Ben this year. I think he's only 33 and he's coming off his best year ever as a passer. And despite losing Marcus Pouncey, I think the offensive line is the best it's been in quite a long time under the tutelage of Mike Munchak. So just with those facets, he's going to be upright. Antonio Brown's had that all day to get open. And I just don't think anyone in the league can stop Antonio Brown right now. When you add in the fact that I believe the Patriots have lost at least three corners during the offseason, including two of their starters, I just think it's going to be a long day for the Patriots to try to stop Antonio Brown. I think that's what is going to come down at the end of the game. I think Antonio Brown is going to make too many plays to be stopped. So,
yeah, fair enough. I mean, the Patriots lost their top four corners, and their fifth corner I didn't think was going to make the team. He's technically on the roster now. But so there is that. I mean, one of the reasons, if not the biggest reason, why Roethlisberger had a career year last year was, you know, the presence of Le'Veon Bell, you know, sucking up defenses and allowing a dump-off outlet in the absence of, you know, an available deep receiver. So that goes away for the Patriots game, at least. You know, don't do drugs, kids. They'll ruin your NFL career. And, you know, destroy Ben Roethlisberger's numbers in week one. That said, I am concerned about the Patriots' defensive backfield. I have been pretty much since the start of the offseason when I saw all this coming down the pike. You know, those concerns are going to come to the surface on Thursday night. I'm just hoping that, you know, the loss of our defensive backfield is offset largely by the loss of Le'Veon Bell. And, you know.
You know, I am going to try and stay neutral as best I can. But, Greg, I do want you to address the loss of Le'Veon for your offense. How is the Steelers going to offset that with the running backs that they currently have on the roster?
Well, the only running back they really have on their roster right now, in my opinion, is D'Angelo Williams. And as a stopgap for a game or two, I think D'Angelo Williams is really going to excel in the Steelers' offense. I think it's the type of offense that he's been, you know, pretty much dreaming to be a part of. He's never had an elite quarterback the way that Ben is to take the pressure off him for the running game. And he's also proven throughout his career to be at least a decent, reliable option out of the backfield. Now, he's not going to be Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I think Le'Veon Bell is a special, like, Marshall Faulk-type talent as receiving out of the backfield. But as a stopgap for just one game, I mean, we're worlds off better than having Ben Tate last year in the playoffs. So I'm really actually excited about D'Angelo Williams for 2 weeks. With his age and everything, I think he would deteriorate if we used him any longer than that. But for 2 weeks and get him out of there, it's going to be perfect. The rest of the running backs for the Steelers, Dre Archer and their fullback, Will Johnson, who actually will be the primary backup this Thursday, they're not even factors in the game. They are totally useless. So if D'Angelo gets hurt, it's going to be all five wide and throw the ball.
And speaking of five wide, you're also without Martavius Bryant due to suspension here. I mean, I'm looking at your wide receiver depth chart. I see Antonio Brown and Marcus Wheaton, who I actually like quite a bit in fantasy, but that's it. I mean, I know the Patriots' defensive backfield is not what it once was last year, but the Patriots' pass rush, Patrick, I think is much improved, and I think we're going to see a lot of that tonight.
So the Patriots' strength in terms of their personnel groupings, their linebacking core is, you know, the best group on the team and arguably, you know, the best positional group in the league, you know, in terms of one unit, which is awesome. But when you run five wide, guess what happens? You're not going to have, you know, all three linebackers on the field or four if they're in a 3-4 look. So one of the advantages that Pittsburgh has, if it's an advantage, and I guess it's debatable, is do they have more receiving options to pair with a really, really good quarterback, if morally corrupt, going against, you know, the Patriots' depleted secondary in the absence of the strength of the defense, you know, if they're in a sub-package set meant to defend five wides.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move now to the Patriots when they have the ball, Patrick, and you're talking – one very PO'd Tom Brady coming?
So I've never been a big fan of the argument that, you know, you got to watch out for Tom Brady this year because now he's got something to prove. Tom Brady has made a career out of having something to prove. And I think I could expand that to most of the guys in the NFL. It's, as a rule, they're not a demotivated group of people, which is sort of the implication when you say that, like, look out, here comes a guy in his 16th year, now he's got a chip on his shoulder, right? Like, that's not really what we're talking about here. So the whole scandal, you know, most recent scandal that I know I've gone on at length, can only serve to act as a distraction for Tom Brady. There's no good that can come from it. I mean, we can say that now he's got, you know, an edge to him and a chip on his shoulder. He's going to be more focused. No, I mean, that's kind of purple prose. Like we don't know any of those things to be true, and they might make for a more interesting piece to read, you know, on an online article, or, you know, a position for a super fan to take on a podcast. But not only can it not be substantiated, I think it is a disservice to Tom Brady and the career that he's had to imply that he's now got a fifth year that you didn't know about in terms of his focus. So I am a little bit concerned that there could be a letdown in terms of the expectations if people think that he's going to come out and throw for 500 yards tonight or Thursday night. If he does, awesome, you know, but I think that'll probably be more matchup dependent, game plan oriented than it is a product of Tom Brady's, you know, specific motivation. Couple of that with, you know, LaFell's out. You know, our starting running back is also out for the exact same incident I just made fun of Le'Veon Bell for, to be fair. And our, you know, center, who's sort of the new cornerstone of our offensive line, has concussion and probably won't play. So our starting running back is out, as is Pittsburgh's. Our starting center is probably out, as is Pittsburgh's. One of our starting wide receivers is out, as Pittsburgh's. So in terms of, you know, key injuries to key personnel on the offenses, they actually like pair up pretty evenly from that perspective. The difference is in the quality of the players and the game plans, right? So like LeGarrette Blount does not equal Le'Veon Bell to any strength of the imagination. And Martavis Bryant, whether he was the number two or number three receiver, you know, is probably arguably a better individual player than Brandon LaFell. And hopefully Danny Amendola can step in and play, because behind Amendola, there's not a whole lot going on in terms of wide receiver depth. You're probably going to be seeing a lot of two tight end sets. I mean, you'd be seeing them anyway because we have an injured fullback, but I don't see them going three wides. I mean, they might, but then you're rolling out, you know, Dobson, and, you know, ball's just going to hit him in the chest and fall on the ground. You know, your other option is but Chandler. And run two tight the whole game.
Greg, how do you see the Steelers D matching up here?
Well, I'm actually very excited about the defensive line against the Patriots offensive line. With the new one gap attacking style for the defensive line, I think that Tuitt and Haywood are going to, when they move inside on passing downs, they're really going to be able to push the interior of the line, especially with the center missing. And I think that's going to create havoc for Tom Brady because he likes to step up in the pocket a little bit. So if the part, you know, just like with all the other quarterbacks, if the pocket collapses, I think he's going to be under pressure. It's going to lead to mistakes, hopefully, if they have a secondary guy that can be within 30 feet of a receiver.
And that's a fair point, Greg. I mean, one of the other big issues with the Patriots right now is that, you know, with Stork out, and it's probably going to happen anyway, but with Stork out, we're moving Wendell from guard to center, which is fine. He can play center reasonably well. And that's going to put more likely than not two rookies at the guard spots. So Tom Brady is not known for just closing his eyes and, you know, having complete and total trust in his offensive line, is going to be reluctant to step up into the pocket. He's not going to be rolling right. So what's going to happen? We might see some turtling Tom Brady tonight, which I've never been a fan of, but I mean, that could play into Pittsburgh's hands.
Yeah. With that push up the middle, that I'm expecting, and the outside linebackers for Pittsburgh are no longer the vaunted pass rushers that they used to be. Although I do expect 20 good snaps out of James Harrison, who during the preseason, the preseason is worth absolutely nothing. But he has, during limited action in the preseason, he's getting a sack like every five snaps or something right now in the preseason. So he's at the top of his game. And knowing with all the guys we're missing on offense, I just like the chances of him making an impact play with Brady not being able to push up in the pocket. So, I mean, the biggest question mark for the Steelers is going to be, of course, Gronk. How are they going to cover him? They've gone out the last couple of years trying to get coverage linebackers in the form of Shazier and, to a lesser extent, Sean Spence, who had an injury that derailed his career slightly. But I'm really hoping that Shazier can't – no one can stop Gronk. I'm just hoping he can impact him enough just to slow him down and not have him one of those fantasy days that makes everyone tremble that you didn't take him in the first round of their fantasy draft. So if we can keep Gronk down to one touchdown, I feel pretty good about the day.
Yeah, as long as you're not overcompensating for Gronk and allowing a backup running back to run for 120 yards on you.
Yeah, exactly.
I normally will gloss over special teams, but I will ask Greg, how are you feeling about your kicker at this moment?
The only good thing about him is that he is experienced. I mean, I don't think he's had many game-winning opportunities in Jacksonville over the last 5 years. So, I mean, what type of clutch kicker is he? He's not Vinatieri or anything. So the one silver lining, I guess, is that he does have a stronger leg than Schlesham. So his kickoff percentage is supposedly a lot higher than Sweetsham's was, so hopefully field position will be helped by that. But other than that, it's almost a who knows? It's just a kicker.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get predictions here. Greg, what do you see? What's the final score of this one?
I'm going to go 33-27 Steelers, and the 33 is going to be from missed 2-point conversions, and I think the Patriots will, you know, score as many times also.
All right, I'll go 24-21 Patriots.
Interesting. I'm going to go 37-23 Patriots. I like the Pats putting points up on the board. I know you're not going to put a lot of stock in a pissed off Brady. And by the way, I should bleep myself. But, Bill, I think Brady's coming out firing on all cylinders. I know from watching the Patriots in the preseason for all these years that they don't do that they're going to come out with something completely different than what we saw this preseason. And sometimes it works, sometimes like last year, but ultimately I see the Patriots coming out firing on a night when they get to unveil their Super Bowl banner and get their star quarterback back. The crowd's going to be into this one. I do feel for you, Greg, as you got to pull the opener card. The only thing that would have been better was if the Colts were in this spot.
Well, I'm looking forward. I hope Tommy makes it through the first game. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh my, now we're threatening our star quarterback. How dare you? This Superman battle is done.
Is Pollard out of the league yet? Is he still playing ball?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. This is a super battle, is what I'm calling this. One super fan versus another. Today we have the Bucks super fan, Daniel. How are you doing, Daniel?
Hey, I'm pretty good, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful, man. Thank you so much for joining us. We also have the Titans super fan, Neil. How are you doing?
Good, guys. Looking forward to this.
So I'm just going to start with – we're going to start with Daniel – with the Bucks. Tell us a little bit about your team. Tell us how you think they're going to fare in this endeavor. Are they going to win this game? What are your thoughts?
Well, we didn't win a single game at home last year, so I was kind of hoping we'd open on the road, but that's not going to happen. I'm really intrigued by this matchup. Obviously, the two rookie quarterbacks. But there's so much that goes into this game, and I think the lines are going to be so important here. There's been a lot of upheaval on the Bucks defense, and I'm actually quite nervous because I think Mariota could go all Michael Vick on us and run for 200 yards if it goes badly.
Levante David would have something to say about that, right? You would hope.
Oh, yeah. No. I think they might use him as a spy on Mariota, because I think he's got a lot smaller playbook than Winston to play with. So it wouldn't surprise me if they put David on him.
Are you expecting a win? Do you think your team's going to pull this out, or how's it going to go?
I really want to say yes, but I mean, Jameis is dealing with the sprained ankle. So, and the offensive line's just awful. It's just a revolving door. So I think it's going to be a really low scoring game. And I think it's going to come down to a few splash plays.
Wow. Yeah, you definitely, that is interesting. The low scoring game. This is the second lowest over under in the entire league. There's a couple other games. This is 41 is the over under. A couple other games that are in that same range. One game is a 40.5, which is the Kansas City Houston game, is the only game that is expected to have a lower scoring game than this game. So that is very astute of you. I think that is correct. Probably a low scoring game. Neil, what are you thinking? How are your Titans looking? Are you confident? What do you think?
I don't think you can ever be confident being a Tennessee fan, but I think a lot of this game will be about Dick LeBeau. I think he'll be licking his lips at the fact that Tampa Bay have had problems along the offensive line and Winston sort of hobbled already. And I really think this will be like a sort of a defensive battle. And I think Tennessee's deal come out on fire and sort of play for the new coordinator. I think the starters have really shown flashes in pre-season that it could be like an underrated or overachieving unit sort of thing. And I think if they show up and play well, I think we can win this game.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about that, more about that offensive line. I've been hearing rumors that it's pretty strong. Are you guys five deep? Do you have every single position at a very good level? How strong is that offensive line?
Yeah, I think it's on paper, it's relatively strong. I worry about Jeremiah Patasi at right tackle. I think the consensus was that we sort of overdrafted him, but he really did fit our system. So I'd be interested to see how he plays. But on Schwenke at centre, Taylor on left tackle, Byron Bell's experience, he's played left tackle, he's shifted into guard. And obviously, we managed to get something for Andy Levitre, which was a minor miracle. So, yeah, I do think there is potentially a lot of depth there. And I think we spent a lot of draft capital on offensive line players. Sort of top 10, top 11 picks on likes of Chance Womack and Taylor Lewan. And I think now is the time. It really is about time that they perform, because over the last couple of seasons, they really have looked an average or below average unit.
Nice. It's a perfect timing. I mean, to bring your offensive line together and have them really dominate right when a new quarterback comes in. I mean, you couldn't plan it better. Neil, do you have any questions for Daniel? Is there anything as a super fan who's about to face this other team, anything you want to ask about that team? Anything you want to challenge that you think maybe these weaknesses that can be exploited on the Bucs?
Yeah, I'm sort of intrigued by State of Tampa Bay's run game.
In this game especially, I think that they're going to use Doug Martin and Charles Sims out of the backfield quite a lot. I mean, Martin's had a really good preseason, which is, a big step up from, the dip he's had since his rookie season. And Charles Sims got injured last year, so he didn't get a chance to show the potential that he did coming out of Berkeley. So I think, especially with Derek Morgan going against Donovan Smith, they're going to try and get those guys out of the backfield and use them more in the passing game than actually a traditional run game.
Nice. Daniel, vice versa, do you have any questions for Neil? Anything that you would like to ask or anything you're curious about his team?
Okay, the one thing I really want to know, Neil, is you only took four wide receivers onto the main roster of 53, and there's been a lot of talk this week about McCluster and Delanie Walker all in the slot. How much action do you think they're going to get in this game?
I think Dexter McCluster's been quite widely used in pre-season, but it's kind of one of them sort of red herring type players where it sounds brilliant and you think, oh yes, he can carry that backfield, he can play in the slot, it is like sort of a Swiss Army knife type weapon, and then you don't see him all game, or he has like one catch for 8 yards or one drop most of the time. But his Chase Kaufman's been catching a lot of passes, and I think Delaney Walker is by all intents and purposes just a receiver nowadays. But as far as I think your question back to McCluster, I don't see him being all that effective. I think what will happen is, our rumour is that after week one, they will bring back Akeem Ricks when he's got no guaranteed salary. And I think one of them tight ends will be cut.
Yeah, to me, that just signals that they're going to use Mariota a lot this year to run. And you'd think they want to protect him, but set up, it looks like they're going to block, throw deep, throw screens, and let him run around in the backfield. Do you think that's going to happen, really, though?
I think it'd have to take a lot of bending from Ken Whisenhunt, which I don't see. I think it is realist. I think he's set in his ways, and I think a lot of media talk around that when we drafted Mariota were that, can he change or will he change or whatever. Tennessee would be silly to not use his running talent, because I think he's a smart runner, he's an intelligent runner. He's not going to put his son in danger like a Robert Griffin. He's not sort of erratic, carries the ball. He runs like a rat, basically. I think Tennessee would be silly not to use that, but I don't think us only having four wide receivers on his active roster really sort of gives any indication that we're going to be suddenly all option.
The spread right now is 3 points going to Tampa Bay to win. So I think they're getting the advantage because they are playing at home. It's obviously Winston's, you know, his backyard, and I think he'll be really excited about that. Any closing thoughts as we finish up here? Daniel?
Bucks are going to win 2019.
2019, I love it. And keeping it, that is further everyone keeping track, that's right under the under. 39 points, 2 points under the under. Take the under and the Bucks. What do you think, Neil, if you had to give a prediction? What's your prediction on the score?
I'm going to go 24-13 Tennessee. Optimism.
24-13 Tennessee. What's going to be the key to the game?
I just think, obviously, both quarterbacks, but I think Tennessee's D are going to shock a few as well. I think Tennessee's D are going to turn up and play, and I think they're going to do it all season as well.
All right, we are here with the Battle of the Superfans. This is the Giants versus the Cowboys. I have both of our superfans with us today. First, let me introduce to you Samuel, the superfan for the Giants. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Sitko?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you so much for being here. And then also I have Brian, who is our super fans for the Cowboys. How you doing, Brian?
Doing great. Ready to kick off 2015 with a little NFC East battle.
I know. Amazing. You guys open up against each other. I obviously am invested because I'm an Eagles fan. I love these games because you guys are my two biggest rivals, the Giants and the Cowboys, and one of you has to lose. That's great. One of you has to win, which sucks, but one of you has to lose. So going to Samuel, do you think you guys can beat the winners of the division, the Cowboys? Do you guys have a chance to take them down week one? If so, how are you guys going to do that, Samuel?
Spoiler alert. Not only do I think we can, but I do think we will.
Nice.
So, really, looking at this Cowboys team, I think they're kind of overhyped for this season. I just don't see where they can really take advantage of the Giants. And, of course, this is seeing it through my first day of the season rose-colored glasses. If the strength of the Cowboys is obviously their O-line and then Des Bryant, and I think we're uniquely handled. Like, the one thing our defense can do is handle a wide receiver with Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. Our safeties are all right, but if you're going to beat us, it's going to be on the ground through that horrendous defensive line. And Darren McFadden doesn't really do it for me. I saw he was announced as starters, even though it's a running back by committee. If Joseph Randle gets more play, then I would be scared. But on offense, I mean, I could be the starting cornerback for Dallas, and it wouldn't be much of a downgrade. I think Odell Beckham and Eli Manning show Tony Romo and Dez how it's done. I mean, last year, Odell Beckham with one hand carrying Brandon Carr into the end zone to make the best catch in NFL history. I think we'll see a repeat of that this week.
Nice. So, Brian, what do you think about all that? Is this true? Are you guys going down to the Giants? How do you feel?
That's real big talk coming from the Giants, but I think we know that the biggest strength of the Cowboys is Tony Romo, and Romo has owned the Giants the last 2 years, 11 touchdowns to 3 picks the last 4 meetings. He's going to slice and dice that secondary again. You guys can't stop Dez. He has the most yards against any team in the NFL against the Giants. Dez, Witten, Terrence Williams will be able to throw the ball. And regardless of it's McFadden, Randall, Dunbar, we're going to be able to move the ball on the ground in some form or fashion. I don't know how the carries are going to break down. Anybody who says they know how the carries are going to break down outside of that locker room is lying through their teeth. But we're going to be able to move the ball on the ground with that offensive line. You're right, you guys don't have the strength up front, to handle them. Randall will be able to run. Fadden will be able to run. So we'll be able to move the ball. The only hope the Giants have is that it turns into a shootout. I'll be the first to admit Odell Beckham is a beast. Brandon Carr is going to have his hands full. But I think Odell will get his. If we can limit the Giants' offense everywhere else, kind of keep the contain on Danelle, on Victor Cruz, if he plays, on Reuben Randall, and on that running game, I just don't see you guys scoring enough points to keep up with us. Our defense, I've been preaching it all preseason, is much improved, especially up front. Still missing Greg Hardy, still missing Rolando McClain, but we've got enough with all of our returning guys that we'll slow you down enough. It won't kind of get into that arena football scoreboard, but we've got enough on offense, enough on defense. We'll win comfortably against New York in week one, 1-0 in the division for the Cowboys.
Wow. So, Samuel, hearing all that hubris, do you have any questions for him? Anything you want to bring up about his team you want to ask him about as we go into this battle?
Yeah. Was Ronald Leary the starting left guard last year or left tackle last year? I just had a quick.
Leary was the starting left guard last year. He'll be the starting left guard this year. And I think that says a lot about his talent, that he could hold off a perceived first-round talent in Lael Collins. And so we have continuity along that offensive line. All five starters return. They're all going to be back. They didn't get a run in the preseason together with the injuries, but they'll all be back, and they're all going to be plowing the road for McFadden and Randall back there.
What are the secondary passing options from this year? I remember the last time the Giants and Cowboys opened up the season, I think Ogletree went for like 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. And it seems like those players are the ones that kill the Giants in these matchups.
Well, we've got Terrence Williams, who continues to develop. I wasn't as high on him last year as others were. I know he had 8 touchdowns, but I still think he kind of underperformed. I think really the secondary receiving option that is going to thrive this year is going to be Cole Beasley out of that slot. Me and Sitko have talked about him before. You know, he just finds a way to make plays. He's that little water bug out there who just, when Romo needs to play, you know, it used to be always Witten and Dez, and now he's finding Cole Beasley. So I really expect Beasley to just run circles really around a secondary that I don't see a whole lot from so far. So I think that's going to be the guy to keep an eye on is Cole Beasley.
Brian, do you have any questions for Samuel?
I think the obvious question is without JPP, what can we expect up front?
Oh, this is one I was waiting for. People are really down on the Giants up front. I tend to take a more optimistic look. I think the middle of that line is going to be all right because I think Hankins is going to take a step forward and really be able to stop the run. And Cullen Jenkins brings pressure up the middle. He's getting a little older, but I think he can do it for one more year. Then on the outside, Spagnuolo just has to get 2 working pass rushers from George Selvie, Wynn, Ayers, DeMontre. Yeah, I realize that I'm saying that doesn't sound very good, but I think he can do it. So we're hoping that he can turn 2 of those guys into decent pass rushers.
Okay, guys, the only thing left we have to do is give me final scores. I'm going to start with you, Samuel. What is the final score at the end of this game?
The final score will be 31-27 Giants. And if the Giants lose, I will write a poem and perform it on this podcast about the player of Brian's choosing. I'm willing to put money on this Giants team.
I love it. Brian, what do you think? What is your final score? And do you have a poetry-based challenge as well?
Not going to drop any haikus or anything quite like that, because after Sunday night, when the Cowboys win 34-24 in Jerry World, setting up the big matchup with the Eagles in week two, as big a matchup as week two can bring, the Cowboys will get a comfortable win this week, 1-0 in the division. All set, looking forward to Philly next week.
Nice, guys. I can't wait for next week. I agree with you. That is a big game. It's like my Super Bowl is playing you guys week two. Giants, I'm rooting for you. Please take down the Cowboys so that I have a chance to knock them down to 0-2 to start their season. That would be glorious. All right. So this battle of the super fans, we have Philadelphia Eagles at the Atlanta Falcons. I'm Mark Sitko. I am the super fan for the Eagles. And with me right now is Tim. He is our super fan for the Falcons. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing fantastic, Sitko. Ready to wreck you in this.
All right, let's do this. So tell me, how are you guys going to beat us? How is this game going to go? How do you guys win this game?
All right, to answer your first question, how are the Falcons going to beat the Eagles? The answer is they are not going to beat the Eagles. And the reason behind this is we have no offensive line, and all of our linebackers are broken again. So, but I'm going to pretend like we're going to win. And the reason we're going to win is Julio Jones. You do not have anybody who can cover Julio Jones, and he's going to rip you apart.
I hear that. The only person I think who has a chance is Byron Maxwell, but I, you know, our secondary was so bad last year. I cannot be cocky and act like I know what's going to happen with the secondary this year, but I hear you. I am definitely afraid of those receivers you have and Matty Ryan. I'm glad you bring up the offensive line because I do think that is the key to the game. Our front seven is pretty strong. Brandon Graham is new this year, but I think he's going to be excited to go against those that offensive line and those tackles. I think especially the interior of your line, right, is like they're trying to figure out who's going to be starting and they're putting it together, and there's a lack of athleticism of how I've heard it talked about. This is Greg Cosell was talking about your offensive line. He mentioned that they lacked athleticism that he feels the Eagles will take advantage of. On the other side of the ball, how do you guys think you will do against the running game? I'm really excited to see DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews and Sproles. Do you guys think you have the linebackers to keep up with that, or how do you feel about that situation?
I mean, the biggest thing I was worried about is Brooks Reed is out with the groin injury for at least 6 weeks. So, you know, we brought him in because he was good against the run. And, you know, it's really disappointing that we're not going to have him for the beginning of the year because of the surgery. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we're just going to have to work through it. O'Brien Schofield is going to get the start there, and he's going to rotate with Troy Veerman, which, you know, I mean, not ideal. Troy Veerman is awful. And, you know, DeMarco Murray is going to exploit that. I'm fully aware of that. And realistically, I expect you guys to have, you know, between 150 and 200 rushing yards, but I don't feel like anything's really going to happen, you know, through the air for you. Our secondary looks amazing. You know, Desmond Trufant, as long as he's healthy, he missed all the preseason games. I mean, he's going to lock down any receiver that he's on. So, you know, one of your guys is automatically taken out. If we can get to Sam Bradford, we can get in his head and show him that we're going to hit him, then, you know, that's just going to be how it goes. So, you know, really leaning on, you know, Vic Beasley and Adrian Claiborne to establish that, you know, and, you know, let the Eagles know that they're not going to be able to throw and force you guys to run on us and just bend and don't break when it comes down to the red zone. Realistically, I mean, I feel like this is going to be a pretty high-scoring game. Yeah, I'd probably say, you know, 35-31, you know, for you guys winning. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, for sure, man. I appreciate you thinking we're going to win. I feel the same way, but I'm not as confident. I'm surprised you're going with us. Because, yeah, I'd say I think it's going to be somewhere. We're going to put up about 34 points if I had to bet. And it's really, I just don't know how to mark you guys because, like you pointed out, you guys could light up our secondary. I'm not sure. If you do, I think you're going to get in the 30s. If we can hold you back a little bit, I can think we can maybe hold you in the 20s and beat you 34 to 27 to 24, something like that. But we'll see. My fear is last year we opened against the Jaguars and we came out really flat. So if that happens again, I think you guys will have a chance. You know, I think Chip, you know, we got to see all these pieces together. Ertz hasn't been practicing for a while. He's coming back. Kiko Alonso and Kendricks didn't play all preseason together as the inside middle linebackers. But I think we'll see all that come together and it should be fine. But yeah, man, it's the first game of the year, right? We never really know, but I'm glad to hear you think my team will win. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
I mean, it's going to be really cool because we are two completely opposite teams. You know, you guys are just going to, you know, ground and pound on us, and we're going to have to go finesse pretty people and throw it. So, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, old football versus new football. So, you know, it's super going to be exciting.
For sure, man. And I'm very excited. I think either way, right, no matter who wins this game, both of us have a chance to be competitive at the end of the year, and we may see each other in the playoffs again.
Oh, man. Don't talk about playoffs yet. I'm not ready to talk about playoffs. I'm ready to talk about getting more than 5 wins.
Nice. All you got to do is beat the Saints. That's all I'm going to say. As long as you just keep your eyes on the Saints, stay ahead of those guys, and you guys are going to be in great shape.
Great job there by the Superfans. Mark, thanks for filling in on some of those previews. That was awesome.
No problem, man. It was fun to do. They had a really great time, man. Great Superfan battles. I'm excited to hear from those guys on Sunday night to see if they came out the way they expected the games to go.
That is going to be the one interesting aspect of this, having them all join you Sunday night. I don't pity you trying to put that show together.
That'll probably be impossible, but I'll get a couple of them, especially you watch the ones who win. They're going to be real quick to call me. They're going to be real quick to want to get back on the air.
That's a good point. All right. So games that our super fans did not get to, we will go in chronological order via Pigskin Pick'em. Yes. If you want to join us, by the way, There's a link in our show notes here. You can pick against the super fans. Just go to ESPN.com and join the Pigskin Pick'em game. Search for Next Fan Up, and you'll be able to make your picks against our super fans and myself. We do straight up picks because going by the line is just too difficult. And why would we ever want to do that? We don't want to encourage betting yet. Anyone out there listening, we're available for sponsorship. So the first game up here on Sunday is the Indianapolis Colts at the Buffalo Bills. Ryan, what do our super fans have to say about this one?
All right, I shall battle myself with this game. The Colts are getting exactly what they need, says our Colts super fan, and I agree with him because he's saying they're going to face a dominant defense. And Andrew Luck wants to minimize his turnovers, and frankly, this is a big test for the Colts because the Bills, you know, Rex Ryan, run the ball, play defense. You're going to see Frank Gore for the first time out there, and we'll see if the running game is improved with him, you know, at the helm there. And defensively, the Colts have a rookie nose tackle. So our guy is pretty nervous about his defensive line play. And as I've told him many times, who could blame him? Because that's been their downfall, especially against your team, Pod Vader, in the playoffs. And that's something they're certainly going to have to improve upon. And they have to face a mobile QB. So we'll get to see Tyrod for the first time making a start. And I know I'm very interested to see how he's going to do in a real game. I think he kind of deservedly won that spot for the Bills. But we'll have to see if they can get him into third and longs. That'll probably be a disastrous day for him. But if Rex Ryan gets to play his style, you know, maybe they keep it close. But personally, I think the Colts just have way too much. And I see this game just on my opinion that the Colts are going to have too much firepower on offense, even with that great defense. And ultimately, the schedule makers did them a real nice favor, putting them in Buffalo in September instead of, you know, December or something like that. So Colts get a nice spot. Surprise, surprise. I think they probably end up with the W.
Yeah, that sounded like a lot of talk from a team that's going to lose another game. I think this one's pretty obvious. I did not make the Indianapolis Colts my lock. I don't like locking in visiting teams, although I easily could have made the Colts a lock. I see the Colts walking away from this one pretty easily. Sitko, you have a dissenting opinion?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Sorry, guys. No, I feel the same way. I think it's going to go. Yeah, that's what I would expect as well. It would be great if we could go the other way. I just don't see it happening. I think with time, that team is going to get its act together. I just don't think it's going to be right now.
Wow, that dog really wants to be on this show. He doesn't like what you're saying.
No. She's got really different ideas about a lot of my teams. But she, you know, she doesn't know what she's talking about. I'm the super fan, not the dog.
By the way, I mentioned Lock of the Week. You can join us as well on Eliminator Challenge. Go to ESPN.com, sign up for the Eliminator Challenge game, search for Next Fan Up, and I will tell you what my lock is a little later on because we haven't gotten to my lock yet. Sitko, you are up next with the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, so this game writing in, our Green Bay super fan says he's scared because Green Bay has a history of starting slow. He does like that. He says Cutler will throw to the Packers at least two or three times. Whether the Packers can hold on to that, you know, that'll determine how many interceptions actually happen. But he says that they're good for that. Usually Cutler, you know, a couple times a game. His big focus is on Julius Peppers. He expects a big game out of him just because he's playing his former team, and usually he steps up in big moments. And he also points out that their special teams are bad, and if there's any place that Chicago has an advantage, it's there on special teams. Coming from Chicago, Tom, our super fan on the other side, this is a very fascinating statement. He says that Chicago's current coaching staff is the best coaching staff in Tom's lifetime. I don't know Tom's age, but I think that means that he couldn't have been alive for the Ditka era, and he couldn't have been alive for the you know, Buddy Ryan era, right? Well, am I crazy to say that? Do we think the coaching staff right now is better than it was back then?
No, the 85 Bears are the greatest, are one of the greatest football teams of all time.
Exactly.
So, what is he talking about?
And the staff was part of that, right? The coaching staff was part of that. Yeah. So I don't know the math, like I said, Tom. I just thought that was a bold statement. I was like, wow, the best coaching staff on the Chicago right now. But he's very, obviously very confident in that coaching staff. His big question is, where does Kyle Long play? They expect him to go out to right tackle, but he hasn't played that all of preseason. So it'll be interesting to see if they do put him there and how well he fares. He says that Jeffrey's health, you know, is questionable. So he's a little nervous of that. He's hoping Jeffrey can come out and be ready to go. I'm speaking of Alshon Jeffrey. And his other big question is simply, can the Bears stop the run? Which is fascinating when you face Green Bay to worry about the run game. But obviously with Lacy, that's a major problem. If you can't stop Lacy, they are going to pound you. And then on top of that, Aaron Rodgers is going to light you up on the backside. So, yeah, really interesting matchup here. I think everyone, right, is picking, similar to the first game, everyone is going to be picking Green Bay. Not many people are expecting Chicago to win. I would feel the same way. It's just my big thing is now with these injuries, I'm just very curious to see what does that passing attack look like now that Nelson is down. I think it's going to be fine. I think we all think it's going to be fine. But, you know, that is a question, and we got to see it in action.
I like Davante Adams quite a bit on that team. I think he showed quite a bit towards the end of last season. I know he had sort of a roller coaster season last year with the Packers, but he was a rookie. He's got a whole year under his belt. I think he's going to be just fine stepping into that role. I think that's sort of what they envisioned. They just didn't envision him having to take this role so quickly. I was tempted to lock in the Packers, but not only do I not like locking in visiting teams, I don't like locking in visiting teams in a division rivalry, because those games, you just never know, could go either way. I feel pretty confident about the Packers. Just don't want them as a lock. All right, Ryan, you're up next again. We got the Cleveland Browns at my hated New York Jets.
Oh, the Jets. Well, we have a preview from our super fan there. And he says the game, and oh boy, this should be a fun first part of the season for the Jets, is going to come down to Ryan Fitzpatrick and can he avoid turning the ball over? So that narrative will never change with that guy. I want to go back to him in a minute. He thinks the Browns are going to have a lot of trouble moving the ball on the ground and through the air versus that defense. That makes sense to me. Another thing will be to see if the Browns acquisitions, Danny Shelton and Randy Starks, helps improve the 32nd ranked run defense. Yeah, we'll see if they improved at all from there. And they need to, if they have any chance of this game, referring to the Browns, says our Jets super fan. He predicts a score: Jets 24, Browns 14 in the game of the week. I added that part. He didn't write that. The Browns, you know, we got McCown. It's so bad because not only are their colors vanilla, but just looking at their offense, I mean, Hartline, Dwayne Bowe. I agree with them. The Jets defense is very strong. They're going to have a lot of trouble, but the wild card is definitely Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is the definition of a double-edged sword, because I've seen it many times. I'm sure fans of his teams that his quarterbacks have seen it. He can flat out win a game for a team and he will just flat out lose it. So unless he has a meltdown, the Jets should definitely take this one, especially at home.
I love that that you bring up the colors of the Cleveland Browns. Is this what teams at the very bottom of the league fight about? If you can't argue for superiority of your offense or defense, you got to bash each other's colors.
Yeah, that was a mean jab. But I was just thinking, you know, it's got to be tough being a fan of it, because they haven't had, I don't know, they haven't had anything exciting for a while. I know my team hasn't really either, but it's just, I feel like it's been longer, and mainly since they came back in 99. Like, I don't know, it's just a lot of boring going on. I really don't want to bash them, and it's just getting worse. But that's just how I feel about them, and it certainly doesn't seem like they're going to take a step up, you know, this year. Maybe maybe a couple wins improvements if they're lucky in a lot of games or improve flat. But, you know, they're not going to the playoffs. They're not. I don't know. It's yeah. It's another one of those seasons.
It's a
I look at the change in the Cleveland Browns colors as the change in their overall performance on the field. Slight and not really existing.
You try that a lot. I know the Jaguars have tried it twice. We'll see how it goes for the Browns.
All right, Ryan, you get back-to-back games here. Kansas City Chiefs are at the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
By the way, the little Texans had practice canceled for Thursday due to the rain, unfortunately.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. But our Chiefs super fan did write in his preview. And he says that they're entering the season, looks to be their most solid roster in roughly a decade. That's I guess that's not too much of a bold statement. He thinks the offensive line, it was substandard last year. I don't know. He doesn't really seem too confident in it right now. So I don't know. Hopefully you guys have heard that Donald Stevenson took over the left tackle position over from Eric Fisher. Who's now on the right side. So the number one overall pick from a couple years ago has now been moved. And coincidentally, the number two overall pick was Luke Jokel for my team. And those guys both been struggling. So that was kind of a weak draft, it appears. He thinks he's been watching too much Hard Knocks. I think a lot of people are going to have this effect with them too. But he thinks the prospect of Vince Wilfork and J.J. Watt staring down his patchwork O-line scares him. I think Hard Knocks is definitely to make the Texans more lovable and better than they actually are going to be. But, you know, they got Jamal Charles, and they're going to have Travis Kelce there, too, to help out on the offense. He thinks the Chiefs' defense should be able to dominate, given the diminished firepower of the Texans' offense after injuries and all those that occurred in the offseason. He says the first team to score 10 points may be the winner. And Andy Reid has never lost to Houston as a head coach. That's a weird kind of stat, considering he was in the NFC for a while. He hopes they don't look ahead too early to the home opener against the Broncos 4 days later. That could be huge. That's a big game that's coming up. So that's what our Chiefs fan, he seems to be pretty confident in his D. Which I would agree with him there, because again, with the Texans, you got Brian here and, you know, Arian Foster's replacement. It's just a lot of unknown going on with that offense, and the Chiefs with Alex Smith should be able to outscore them by 3 points, in my opinion. So I don't know, 10-7 Chiefs. What do you guys think?
Seems likely. I think it's going to be more than that. I think the Chiefs have put up more than 10. But, you know, but yes, I think the Chiefs have a good chance in this game.
Right.
Yeah, the Texans are actually the favorite in this one by 1.5 points. And they are home. I'm going to take the Texans in this one. It will be a close battle. I don't see this as an obliteration. I see this as more of a team with the last drive winning. That's sort of how I'm looking at this game. Maybe a field goal, maybe a touchdown if the game is tied in that last drive. It'll be a back and forth. It'll be a fun game to watch. I see these two teams as fairly equally matched.
Sounds about right to me. I just want to make sure it's widely known out there that I am very down on the Texans this year, and I think they will not be good, and they have a chance to be probably third in that division. So I'm just we'll see how they do in the first game. But to me, yeah, I just don't see a lot on their team, especially on the offensive side. And if they I don't know, it's going to be really hard to produce to their defensive level, even if I don't know. I don't even see their defense as being like a top five unit. So I'm just down on them. But home opener, they can start up and could certainly win that game.
I'll tell you right now, if they're not a top five unit defensively, trouble in a lot of my fantasy leagues. and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one.
Right.
All right. Mark, you're up next. You've got Seattle, the Super Bowl losing team, Seahawks, at the St. Louis Rams. Should be noted that right now the Seahawks are still going into this season as if they will not have Cam Chancellor on their team. He did not sign his franchise tag. Been holding out. There doesn't seem to be any movement whatsoever in terms of a contract renegotiation. I may have mentioned a franchise tag that may or may not exist. That's what happens when you become the head of content for a podcasting company with 10,000 content creators. You tend to forget little facts like that that seem to be fairly important. And speaking of little facts, you had mentioned earlier, Ryan, about the Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid, never losing to the Houston Texans. That sounds like one of my useless facts that I used to have on previous shows. I need to go back. I did not prepare those for this week. I know I'm disappointing everyone. I will make sure I have useless facts for next week's preview show for sure. All right, Mark, go ahead. Seattle Seahawks at the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, so like you pointed out, I mean, the Chancellor situation on the Seahawks side is really interesting. You know, they went from this Legion of Boom having four guys out there. The Eagles took one of them, and now the other one's holding out, knowing he has more leverage now that he's one of only the three, you know, left of the four. And so now all of a sudden the Legion of Boom is half what it was. And Richard Sherman isn't fully healthy. So it brings up some really interesting questions.
It used to be. Sorry, I was just singing. I was just singing in the background for you.
thank you. But yeah, they are not who they used to be. That's a good point. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, picking up Graham on the offensive side, that's going to be a really fun weapon to watch. I was watching Seattle in the preseason, and they would be struggling on the drive, and all of a sudden it was as if Russell Wilson was like, oh yeah, there's Graham. And it'd be like, Graham, Graham, Graham. They would just hit like three passes in a row. And I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. I'm very curious to see how it goes. I've picked Russell Wilson up in a couple of my fantasy leagues. Watching his clips of his running is just making me more and more excited, and I want to see what they're able to pull off this year, especially in that division. We'll see if the Rams are up to par. For this first game with the Rams, they're playing in St. Louis, and the last two out of three games, this is from our super fan, wrote this in, the last two out of three games in St. Louis, St. Louis has left with the victory. The third of those three that they lost was only, he says, a yard away. What was that? Another useless fact.
That's another useless fact.
1 yard away for the third win, he says. So they play them very tough at home. He thinks they're going to play them well. He's expecting a win. Rams superfan calls win 16-14. He's very excited, like we mentioned before, Chancellor missing and Sherman not being 100%. And he is calling out Russell. As I say, I'm excited to see his running. Our St. Louis superfan says that Russell, now that he has his money, now that he is set up for life, he's going to pull the running back, and he's no longer going to be risking his legs. I don't think this is true. Now, there may be a slight decline. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if that trend happens, but Russell is able to do something. It's literally, when I watch Russell, I feel like we've been waiting for this guy. We had Randall Cunningham back in the day. We eventually had Vic. And I'm not talking about the Eagles. I'm just saying in the league, like these big running quarterbacks who were really mobile, even Steve Young. I think if you took all of these guys and put them together, what Russell is able to do, he has possibly the best keeping the eye downfield and throwing the ball while on the run. And he might be the best athlete of all those guys. Maybe Vic was better, but second to Vic, he's the best mobile quarterback physically, just talent of avoiding tackles and running around that I have seen. And I think out of any of these running quarterbacks, he throws the ball better than any of them. So, yeah, like I said, I understand. I don't think that type of quarterback is a good idea. I don't think it works in the league, but I think Russell's the exception. I think he's going to have a great year. I'd love to see the Rams beat Seattle in this game, but I have a feeling Seattle will figure out a way to win it. If the Rams do win, it'll be an indication that Seattle needs to get Chancellor in their ASAP, and they need to figure out what they're doing.
I'll just say about Russell Wilson, he doesn't appear to be that type of personality. I mean, there's plenty of guys, and we've seen it through the history of the NFL, that were that guy as soon as they got their money. Oh, I'm done. Thanks for the check. I don't see Russell Wilson as being that type of guy. After this game, I don't like taking a team on the road. I do know the Rams do like to play the Seahawks tough at home in that dome. Still, it's week one. I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks here. I don't see how you could, you know, I don't see how you could go another way.
May I step in for a second here? Mark said a lot of things, and I think I actually agree with a lot of them, even though they were kind of bold, like taking Russell over all those guys. I might not disagree. The only one who I think has a chance to stand up to him all time would be Steve Young, for sure, especially, you know, throwing ability. But Russell's certainly a better athlete, and he's got a lot of career left. And just to say, to rebut, double up on what you were saying, Pod, yeah, Russell is like, his personality is unlike many, and he, like, I don't know, he all-time good guy, and nobody can get mad at him, and I don't see him taking his money and being selfish all of a sudden. So I don't think that has any merit to it, and if he stops running, it'll probably be because somebody's open and he makes a smart decision, as usual. That being said, with the game, the Rams do play off. And I actually just, if the Rams won, it wouldn't be that surprising to me, just because it's a tough spot for Seattle to open up with. I wouldn't put their season in question right away, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, Russell Wilson, big fan there, and I don't see him changing.
All right, the next game up is at Washington Redskins. Mark, we do kind of have to hurry these things along, or the show's going to be about 5 hours long. I'm going to mention, while the Dolphins are the road team in this one, and I don't normally like to do it,
I want winners. Oh. Yeah. I want people that want to win.
I'm making the Miami Dolphins my lock of the week. I don't feel good about it, but I don't really feel good about any of the potential locks this week. The only other one I considered were the Patriots. I'm holding on to that one, though, with them. I can't take them in week one. But anyway, Dolphins, what do our super fans have to say here?
Well, the Miami Dolphins, I wish I could tear down Ron's high opinion here, but against the Redskins, I can't. Because I think it will be good as well. But the things that he states, how Miami led the AFC in total yards and passing yards during the preseason, and Ryan Tannehill had an 80% completion percentage and 120 rating, both second only to Sam Bradford. This is the season. You can't, like, I don't think you can take almost anything away, especially for how well a quarterback is doing. Everything's going to change. There's like guys on the defensive side, coaches are sometimes evaluating one player. So they'll call a bad play or something just to see how a player, you know, so many variables in the preseason, but I can't quite tear them down because they're playing the Redskins and Miami's a good team. And I do expect them to win. He mentions that Miami was number one in red zone trips last year, but 21st in scoring. So they'll have to improve upon that. He also mentions their defense didn't allow a TD in the preseason. I'll just point out again, but I do think their defense will be good. And the Redskins offense is certainly going to be a question, although I'm sure Mark will handle that. Sue is a beast and he will feast on the Redskins O-line. So it'll be fun to watch the Miami defense. He looks for them to win running away 10. His money would be on the Fins to cover. All right. Well, that's another betting thing. Hopefully we get some advertisements. But anyway, while I can't completely tear him down yet, I think they will come back down to earth. I kind of agree with him. I see the Dolphins winning kind of handy.
Yeah, Mark, are you secretly the – Mark, I just want to bring you in on this. Are you secretly the Washington Redskins super fan? Because it seems that you are the only one that has the direct connection to Drew. And
yeah.
I'm curious. You know,
No, trust me. If I was going to double as any super fan, I would do it as the Cowboys fan. Way more fun to mock a Cowboys fan. Who would even want to pretend to be a fan of the Redskins? The problem with Washington, Drew, one, it's because his team is so horrible, he doesn't care enough to really be a super fan. But I think this is true why we can't find a replacement for Drew either. And on the other side, Drew, he is a friend of mine, a personal friend of mine. He's never joined Slack, which I don't know why he won't do this. And yeah, I apologize for that. But no, there really is a Drew. He's a real person. He's very fun. I think of Drew as the human embodiment of Peter Griffin from The Family Guy. He's basically that's him in real life. But Quahog is Washington, D.C. But yeah, so he's great. He's not around. I can tell you his team sucks. We can save some time here just by leaving it at that. I think their whole game this year is to lose everything but two games, and then they can get a quarterback. End of line.
Yeah, they're going to have to lose at least two because I've got one other team. Actually, I got a couple other teams. I'm only going to lose, or they're only going to win one. I don't know if I said that correctly, but basically, I don't have the Redskins as the worst team in the NFL.
They're going
to
try.
We'll get to that. They're going to try, and they're pretty close. But I got another team that I think is going to be worse than them. And it's not Ryan, Jacksonville Jaguars. Despite me throwing you under a bus, I do not have the Jaguars as the worst team in the league. You are facing the Panthers, though. I see this as a loss for you, but go ahead and tell me why I should think the Jaguars might win this one.
Well, there's a few reasons. I'm actually pretty high on Carolina as well and picked them to win the division. So I think this is a really tough test, even though the Jags do get to be at home. The reasons would be that Bortles looks like he is improved, and we'll have to see if he's up to the regular season. Now, the thing is, the Jags really want to run more this year, but so far I feel like their work hasn't really shown up in the running game, but hopefully Yeldon and Denard Robinson can handle the load there. Basically, I think it kind of comes down to their ability to run the ball in this game because Carolina's got a good defense. I think Bortles is improved, but I mean, we're missing Julius Thomas. We're probably going to miss Marquise Lee. I think running is going to be a huge key to the game to be able to hit some passes downfield with Bortles, but Jags defense should be pretty strong, even though they'll be missing a couple of guys there. I think it basically comes down to nobody's going to score like 30 in this game. And if we can, I don't know, the Jags are going to have to get to Cam, I think, which they can do. We definitely do that. So I would say the way that the Jaguars win is play really good defense and hold down their offense. We got to, I think we have to force at least one turnover, make Cam fumble it, or, you know, if he gets out in the open field and is running, it's going to be game over. Running the ball and playing defense, setting this game back to 30 years ago, which is fine with me, by the way. That's what the Jags are going to have to do. And they got a shot. They got a shot. They're at home.
You didn't convince me. I'm still sticking with the Panthers. Moving on to the 4 o'clock games now. Mark, we'll have you come in here with the Lions at the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, with the Lions, they didn't write in, unfortunately, so I don't have anything from the superfan on this game. I think the big question with the Lions, right, as we all look at it, is this team has had a lot of talent over the years. Stafford is strong. Obviously, they have one of the best receivers in the league, and they seem to have other weapons regularly coming in. But they never seem to get together and really compete. Could they compete with Green Bay this year? I think that's going to be difficult. I think they're going to be fine against Chicago and other teams in that division, maybe the Vikings as well. But I don't think they have enough to get up to Green Bay. And I think the Chargers, I'm excited to hear what Ryan has to say, but I think the Chargers are a legitimate team this year. And they are playing at home in San Diego. Detroit has a long travel day for their first game. I think San Diego is going to take this. What do you think, Ryan?
Well, it's interesting you say that because we didn't really make predictions a thing last year in the group, but I did pick the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl, so I was very high on them.
That didn't work out.
That didn't happen. That didn't happen. Very close to getting the postseason, and I would have still stuck with them to get there, but probably just because I picked them. But I thought their defense was going to be improved, and I love Phillip Rivers. This year, I don't feel the same way, but hey, I was wrong last year, so Mark, you may be right. I have three big questions for the opener against Detroit, but when I use I and we, now I'm speaking as the Chargers superfan because he wrote in. How polished is the offensive line? Chargers didn't look very good during the preseason. I'm very concerned about the pressure that Rivers will face against Ansah and Nata. That's very fun to say. And he says, what about our pass rush on the other side? He says, Melvin Ingram finally looks like he's ready to have a breakout season, and he is really good. Atachu is a second-year player, only played sparingly a season ago. I will say that, second-year guy, he could certainly improve. And he asks, can we please stay healthy? Chargers were the second most injury-prone team in the league last year, essentially ended Phillip Rivers' MVP campaign 8 weeks early. The center, Chris Watt, having a center, I remember, from last year is nice. Cornerback Jason Verrett should make a noticeable difference in how the Chargers team looks in comparison to the final eight games of 2014. I'm kind of with our super fan and you, Mark. I do think the Chargers are good. Chargers are also one of those wacky teams who can just kind of mess things up for no reason, and that's kind of why I might even be picking the Lions in this game. Sometimes you can't trust the Chargers. That's my personal opinion.
I agree with that opinion. The Chargers are very untrustworthy, but I am going to trust them to win week one at home. Saints are at the Cardinals. When I was doing the preseason breakdowns, we went by division. I really liked the Arizona Cardinals. And then I did my game-by-game predictions just last week. You can go and download that now on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com/next. You can check that podcast out as well as any of the other previous previews that we have done. And I came to like the Saints for some reason. I like the Saints winning this division, and I've got the Saints winning this game on the road against the Cardinals. And I was like, I can't put my... Why would I pick the Saints here? What is it about the Saints that I'm liking? And it came to me via the folks at Pro Football Focus. Drew Brees was third in the league in accuracy on passes of more than 20 yards last season. The team that wins the rushing efficiency battle could define the outcome of this game, as a dominant share of the clock often proves invaluable in close conference meetings. When I look at the Saints running backs compared to the Cardinals running backs, I just trust. And that's a big word when you're talking about Mark Ingram. I just trust the Saints running backs a little bit more than I trust the Cardinals. So what do you have to say there, Mr. Sitko?
Well, yeah, I think it's really, I think it's a bold call. I like it to go for New Orleans there. These are two teams that both have major question marks. Arizona, for them to go 11-5 last year is incredible. And especially without Carson Palmer for when he was out, I mean, a major part of the second half of the season. Palmer, just like we're questioning with Peyton Manning, Palmer could go down easily this year again, and he would be out. And who knows what that team, we see that team is not really able to compete without him. But New Orleans doesn't have Bird, their best safety. They don't have their top cornerback, Keenan Lewis. Our superfan from there, Chase Millay, writes in. He says he really respects Arizona's D. And he says that Breeze, as long as Breeze is there, they're always going to have a top 10 offense. I don't know if that's exactly true, but it's interesting that he's confident and so are you. This is one of those hard ones to pick. I don't know. Because it's in Arizona, I would probably lean that way. But I agree with you completely. New Orleans is going to take this division. They're going to be a playoff team. I can't say the same for Arizona. So it's really a 50-50. It could go that it should go down to New Orleans.
All right. Ryan, in the interest of time, I'm moving on quickly here to at the Oakland Raiders. I don't know why everyone's really high on the Raiders. Everyone loves the Raiders. Everyone thinks that their offense is much improved, and it might be. I just don't think that it's that much improved. And while the Bengals are a team that's hard to trust, especially with Andy Dalton at quarterback, I'm still going to take them to win this one on the road.
I can tell you why people are really high on the Raiders. It's because they're used to them being absolutely god-awful, dreadful, and now they're going to be okay or just below okay. So a lot of people are confusing that with being really good. That's why some people think the Raiders will be great. They actually are just confusing that with they're not going to be awful. So I'm not one of those people who thinks they're going to make the playoffs or anything. I do have to say that this is a great line from our Raiders super fan who's facing the Bengals, and English Simon, who did not have a preview, but the first of our Raiders super fan is
feel shame, English Simon, feel shame.
You don't have to be from Australia to know that Hugh Jackson would like to come back to Oakland and shove the ball down the Raiders' throats. So, well done. Well done. I have to say. Australian, brilliant. English Simon. So he thinks, anyway, so thinks the Bungles will once again be battling for a playoff berth. Raiders are still away. See, even he says that. So he wants to see the Trey train can run against healthy Geno Atkins. Oh, boy. And the DBs from Cincinnati. He wants if Amari Cooper can get it done. That's a good question. Khalil Mack can get some pressure on the red rifle. I do agree with that. Raiders will have no answer for A.J. Green, he says. Couple of Dalton turnovers, maybe some glorious sack strips from Mac. Maybe that winds down. Tells you not to sleep on the Raiders this year, but it sounds like he's not overly confident that the Raiders will win. I agree. My Bengals preview, since we don't have one, is who cares? It doesn't matter. They're probably going to beat the Raiders, but let's fast forward to the playoffs and see what happens.
There we go. The Ravens are at the Broncos. I've got the Broncos in this one. I think this is a tough matchup for the Broncos. I just give them that mile high advantage here. What do our super fans have to say, Ryan?
Yeah, so we don't have a Broncos one. I agree with you. I feel the playoffs, I'd probably take Baltimore, but it's not. And the Broncos, they are at home. I will never forget how the Broncos got to have the home game after Baltimore won the Super Bowl. I thought that was terrible to start the season a couple years ago. And so basically here we are again. I kind of think it would go not the same way because the Ravens, I think, got blown out in that game. But I'm basically with you that I think the Broncos do win. It'll probably be close. Our Ravens super fan says the one injury that concerns him is Timmy Jernigan, so we'll see how that goes for their defense. And Broncos O-line has a lot of new pieces, so they missed to Manning. That's pretty much true. And any time you play Peyton Manning, I feel like. And this is probably the most important point. This is true. Kubiak, will he rein in Manning to his offense, or will he let Manning be Manning? He's hoping the former. I would agree with that too. Be hoping that Kubiak screws that up, but Manning works the Ravens over, plain and simple, that he says, and he must admit he hasn't watched any Manning this preseason. You know, what is he looking like? I think, personally, we have to wait for the regular season for that. So either way, he says he'll count his blessings if he attempts less than 30 passes, and that's his barometer. If he attempts 29 or less, the Ravens win, 30 more, Broncos win. I think both teams have an excellent pass rush. So he calls Rex, actually calls for the Broncos to win 31-28.
It's an interesting barometer. We move now to the last game on the schedule. It's the second half of the Monday night doubleheader on September 14th. The Vikings, whom I do not believe in, versus the San Francisco 49ers, who I really don't believe in because I see the 49ers as being the worst team in the NFL this year. All right, Sicko, what do we got on this one?
Wow, worst team in the NFL. I don't think this is true, simply because of Kaepernick and Bowman. Like, there's no one like Navarro Bowman or Kaepernick on the Washington Redskins. So I'm going to disagree and say the Redskins are going to be way worse than the Niners. I know the Niners narrative is worst offseason ever and all that, but this is a great test. If they can beat the Vikings, who are supposed to be great with Adrian Peterson coming back, and they got Bridgewater, they got everything running the way they needed to, I think this is going to be a sign that the Niners are not as bad as they should be. But we'll see how it goes. I definitely understand. I mean, the Niners have had a horrible offseason, so it could go very badly. But I think there's going to be enough there that they field if I had to bet, a 6-10 team. Also, I think that division is not super, super strong, other than obviously the Seahawks. But I always have, you know, like when I look at Kaepernick or Foles, I understand St. Louis has a lot of power on defense, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But in this particular game, the Vikings fan writes in, he thinks that the Vikings are going to win 31-27. He thinks Blair Walsh is the key and is going to kick it off at the very end. He believes that the Niners are going to focus on stopping Adrian Peterson so that Teddy has to throw it. But obviously he thinks Teddy's going to pull that off. He's very excited to see Eric Kendricks play, which I am as well. I think he's going to be one of the best rookies, especially defensive players we have this year, even rookie of the year. So I'm excited to see what he can do. But if I had to pick, I'm going to go with the Niners here, because I don't think they're as bad as everyone says they are. But most people are going with the Vikings. What do you guys think? I know where Pod's at. What do you think, Ryan? Do you agree? How are your thoughts here?
Actually, in our pigskin pick 'em, I did pick the Niners, and I
couldn't do diddly poo.
I mean, look, okay, I so that is also generally what I think of the Niners this year. I think it's absolutely insane to let Jim Harbaugh go, no matter how much of a problem he was to work with. Basically, I mean, they worked all offseason at making their team worse. That's just a fact. It's like everything that happened, their team is worse now. But Navarro Bowman, as you said, does come back. I also think a little bit of the Raiders disease is happening with the Vikings, although the Vikings will be better. Because I do believe in the Vikings. I do think they're improved. I think they'll fight for second place in that division. But I just picked them to make the playoffs. I don't think they're amazing. Night opener for the Niners. I think it'll be close. Vikings have some problems on their O-line going out with some starters out. I do just for this game, for the season, I like the Vikings. For this game, I like the Niners.
I'll just say I'm reading from the Eliminator Challenge game on this matchup and getting a returned Adrian Peterson, who I'm sure is going to be just as fired up as Tom Brady is going to be tonight against the Pittsburgh Steelers, trying to overcome what happened to him in a whole year, never mind just an offseason. He's going to be facing a dramatically decimated 49ers defense. So while they do have Navarro Bowman, who else do they got? I mean, I think another guy just retired. Keep using that joke, and I will continue to use it all season. That's what I do. It's going to be a close one, and I don't believe in the Vikings, but I really don't believe in the 49ers, so I'm going to go with the Vikings here. Guys, that's going to do it for our first preview of week one in an NFL season. I'm very glad that you two could join me. Sitko, you're going to be back on Sunday night recapping all of this craziness so you can continue with the Monday morning tradition of listening to all the recaps straight from the super fans. And you can do so on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com/and up. You can also listen to the special weekly podcasts I'll be doing on Wednesdays with my opponent in the Blog Talk Radio Expert Fantasy League. I am representing Next Fan Up this year, at least. Next year, probably not. And I am talking to Mark Morales-Smith, who is part of ScoutFantasy.com, and that is the place that is hosting the Blog Talk Radio Expert Fantasy Football League. So check out that podcast. That is available for you to listen to now. And tweet us at NFU Podcast. Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/NFU Podcast, and email us the week I've got too many shows stuck in my head. Email us nextfanup@gmail.com. We want to hear from you, and we want to talk more about what you have to say about your show, about your teams, shows on the mind. You can tell that we've been going on for too long. So with that, I say thank you, Mark. Thank you, Ryan. And there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.